Hey, babe, hey. Now I know, if y'all are anything like me, you at least want to experience one threesome at some point in your life. But you just may not know how to go about setting that up. Well, it's time to grab your boobs and tune in, because today we're talking all about the need to know on threesomes, bitch. So let's get to it. This episode is brought to you by House of Boobs, where we sell everything boob except your bra, your one-stop shop for all your boob accessories. Be sure to visit us at www.houseofboobs.com. That's HAUSOFBOOBS.com. What's going on, boob babes? It is the one and only boob blogger babe checking in here with you for season 2, episode 5. We finally made it, you guys. We are halfway through the season. And as you can hear, today it's just me. KB had to take an episode off. And, you know, that's okay. Life happens. So, you have the honor and the pleasure of speaking with me for the next 30 to 45 minutes, y'all. So definitely, definitely grab your boobs, because we about to get into it. Anywho, I have got to catch y'all up, because it's been some time. I miss y'all. You know, so Vagina Vent today, we're going to catch y'all up on all things J. Marie, okay? Anywho, y'all know I have started this new job. I'm getting acclimated in this position at work. The people are great. And I just want to tell you how important it is to have a work environment where you feel that you're actually contributing to the workload and the people around you support you. And they have the confidence and assurance that you're going to do your job. That is so important, because it's so less stressful. Okay, like, it's amazing. I work with other Divine Nine members. So in total, it's about 4 Divine Nine organizations represented within my one department. And also, there's about 4 different HBCU graduates within that department as well, which is just like a breath of fresh air. It's a sigh of relief. And I know to some that may seem like I'm trying to say, oh, I don't work well with everybody and things like that. And it's not saying that at all, but to be in the company of your own people and to work with them and to work in an environment where you feel welcomed matters and makes all the difference in the work you produce and what you put out. So yeah, that's just where I'm at with that right now. And I love it. I have no complaints about transferring jobs. And I'm glad to say that I can actually put my degrees to use with what I'm currently doing. I mean, I can tell y'all exactly what I do, because it is government. It is a government job, I will tell you that much. And I'm working for some very important people. And my job matters on the daily. Just know that I am using my accounting degree to its fullest potential, as well as my MBA. Okay, and we're probably going to add a few certifications to that once we finish with this second master's for counseling and therapy, okay? Like, yes, goals, honey. We going up all day, always. But that's what's been going on. I've been getting used to this new schedule, because I was working from home since March of last year, full time. And so having to go into the office, even though it's only 3 days out the week, is still a good change for me, because unlike some of y'all who can just switch it on and switch it off, I need a little time to get used to doing new things. And right now, leaving my house is new to me, because I've been in my house for legit a solid year. I'm learning to reacclimate myself with going into an office, but I'm still grateful that I do have some days work from home permanently, because after COVID and seeing the ability we have to still maneuver from home and get the exact same things done with way less money, oh, I'm all for. Let me just do it at home. Because then I ain't got to worry about you on my neck. I ain't got to worry about you coming to disturb me when I'm in the middle of something. And I get a lot more done. Now, the negative to it is that I don't know when to cut it off sometimes. So I can be at home working on something, and before I know it, it's 7, 8 o'clock. I looked up, and I'm still sitting here working. No, boo-boo. Cut that short. Okay? So I do have to get adjusted to that. However, it's a work in progress. Baby steps, okay? You take the smallest steps you can until you can turn around and see the bigger picture. But speaking of bigger pictures, we're going to jump into this Good Boob News report. So my good sis, auntie, forever first lady, Michelle Obama is getting inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame, y'all. Like National Women's Hall of Fame. This ain't just no state. This ain't no local. National. Okay? Put some respect on her name. Okay? And she was nominated for her contributions towards society as our former and forever first lady with the initiative she started to end childhood obesity, her increased job opportunities for students, and her support for the armed forces and their spouses. Okay? Like, she was out here doing the dang thing before she was a first lady, during her term as a first lady, and still after. Because if y'all ain't read Becoming, you're missing out. I had the electronic copy, read it thoroughly, and then I still wanted the hard copy. Shout out to Bae for getting that for me. Okay? Like, it's just that good of a book that it's something I think I will read once a year, every year for the rest of my life, just to provide perspective on, like, and focus on my own life. You know, seeing her really narrow down and break down everything she's been through, what she's persevered through, how she really felt on the back end, and the struggles she's met being a Black woman in power. It's just mind-boggling. And it sets you up, you know, to know how to handle things when you do reach those positions of power. And I'm finding out a lot of what she said about some of the other people in positions of power is coming out to be very, very true. Very true. But another episode, we'll get into more detail about that later. Right now, we got to jump into this Maya Shaka. She just came out the bat and was like, boom, I'm here, bitch. Let me in. Because she became the first African-American female referee for the NFL. That's like beyond major right now. Like, she's only the second woman in NFL history, period, to even become a referee. And she got 14 years in the game. So this ain't something she just picked up yesterday and said, hey, we're going to go do this and we just going to break down barriers. No, she been working at this for a minute, honey. She been a college level referee as well as the XFL games. Now, I know my boo babes are probably like me and like, what the fuck is the XFL? So I had to Google it too, okay? I mean, just let's be clear. I had to Google it too. But it is a smaller association or league of football. So it's like, you know, I guess that's the one-stop shop before the big league is the XFL. And that's the way I looked it up and gathered, you know, that information. So if you got something different, let me know. Because like I said, that's not my area of expertise. I love watching football, but I've never played it. So, yeah. Okay. But anywho, she attributes confidence, patience, and listening to her success in her career. Okay? And that's very, very important. I'm trying to teach all my friends that confidence will get you way further than you think it will. Because there are a lot of people who lack self-confidence. And the people that have it, they cherish them. They put them on a pedestal. So if you are confident in self and you believe in self, oh, then you go, honey. Everything else you touch or you have, they will believe in you too. Okay? So believe in yourself and everything else will fall in line. True story. We are jumping into feminine favor this week. And I've been getting a lot of questions about what's the difference between waxing versus sugaring. And honestly, I didn't know myself because I have never sugared, if you can call it that, or sugar waxed, shall we say. I have always went to my esthetician and normally just get a regular wax. I get a Brazilian wax. I let her do everything from the root to the dupe. Yes, lift the legs, open the cheeks, everything. Get it all. I don't want to see it. However, because sugaring has hit the market, and or I can't say hit the market because it's been around. It's like an old tradition that many people before us have done. We just weren't aware of it. But much like Yanni Steams, but we already talked about that, so y'all know. But I did take the liberty of ordering a sugar waxing kit from the Girly Box on Instagram. That is the G-I-R-L-E-E box, no space, on IG that gets here today. Woo-woo. I'm going to open it on my live. So if you're not following us, follow us. It's Boobshinary on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, basically everything is Boobshinary. So you spell it with, take the word dictionary, take out the dick, and insert a boob. Boom. Boobshinary. Yeah, you on one. You got it. That's it. Okay. So now let's break down the difference between sugaring and waxing. First, you gotta go through the ingredients. So sugaring is sugar, lemon, and water. That's it. Ain't nothing else to it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Sugar, lemon, and water. And wax consists of beeswax, you have resin, you have oils, and other additives. And as we know, them other additives is probably stuff we don't want touching our skin. But it's what I've known to use, so I've been using it. And it's been working for me, like I said. I go to an esthetician for my Brazilian wax, and what she puts on prior to waxing and after waxing takes care of me. Like, your girl don't have no hair bumps, no irritation, nothing. I'd be good. And it's cooling. Like, it's a cooling sensation, like a slight tingle, because I think it has mint in it. When she finished, that just, like, sends me over the edge. Like, great. Love it. However, now that we're getting into this sugaring and we're understanding a little bit of what it is, I kind of want to know more. Because it seems like it's a more natural and healthier alternative than waxing. But as we know, the healthier alternative is always going to cost more. Let's be clear. We have established that. You can go buy a cheeseburger for $1, $2, but a salad going to cost you about that. We are well aware. I know. Mm-hmm. I do this for a living. Anywho, so the average cost for waxing, if you're doing like your face or your upper body, you're not probably going to pay no more than like 10, 20 bucks for something small, like eyebrows, mustache, chin hairs, nose hairs, things like that. Versus sugaring, you're going to pay about 15, 20 bucks. Mm-hmm. I told you. Cost more if it's healthier. Now, for your body, like your legs, your arms, your pubic area, Brazilian wax, things like that, that's going to cost you about $100 if you're sugaring versus $70 if you're waxing. Yes, I know. We live in America. This is how the game go. Mm-hmm. But sugaring is best for sensitive skin types. So if you already know that your skin is sensitive to certain things, or you already are aware that you break out easily, just go ahead and sugar. Don't mess with the wax. Mm-mm. Don't mess with the wax. Just go ahead and sugar. However, waxing, you don't necessarily have to be sensitive or have fair skin or whatever. Waxing is more of like a general across the board thing that's okay for everybody to do. However, sugaring is best for sensitive skin types. Okay? That's the difference there. Now, it takes off about the same amount of hair, which is a fourth to a half of inch of the hair shown. Now, they both do the same thing. So there's no difference there, okay? No difference there. You're going to have minimal bumps and minimal irritation with sugaring because it's more natural, because it's healthier. Yes, you're going to have less, way less irritation after the fact. Versus waxing, where if you don't have the proper aftercare, oh, child, you're going to have hair bumps. Your skin going to be red. You're going to possibly have some ingrowns, all that. Like, it really, 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 really matters when you're getting waxed, who you're going to, and if they're licensed to do it. Stop going to the nail shop thinking they about to wax you. Mm-mm. Eyebrows can cut it off, okay? Get you an esthetician or go to someone who specializes in skincare and get your lady together. Get you together. Like, mm-mm. We can't just do the backdoor stuff. Yes, it might be cheaper, but if it ain't healthier, I don't want it. And sometimes the nail shop do not be cheap. It be higher and costs a lot more than just going to an esthetician or going to somebody that know what they doing, okay? So get it together, ladies. We got to get it together. We're getting it together all 2021 because we just coming back out the house. Because I know a lot of y'all been sitting in the house like me all year last year. I ain't had no summer 2020. But 2021, it's going to be a little different. The application process is really where things differ between sugaring and waxing, besides the ingredients. Your main difference is the way it's applied. So when you're sugaring, you apply it against the hair growth, which means you apply it in the opposite direction in which your hair grows. Gotta pay attention. And you remove it in the direction of the hair growth. So if you apply it the opposite direction of the hair growth, you remove it in the direction of the hair growth. That is sugaring. Waxing, you apply it in the direction of the hair growth. Okay? You apply it in the direction in which your hair grows, but you remove it against the direction the hair grows. So you remove it in the opposite direction. That is key information right there. So getting all them little hairs, or after you done waxed, you know, you done put that strip down there, took it off, and you still see hair, it's probably because you're not applying it correctly. Okay? So sugaring, again, against the hair. Remove it with the hair. For waxing, you apply it with the hair, remove it against the hair. All right? Now, the question I get the absolute most. Does it hurt? I don't want to be in pain. I don't have a high tolerance for pain. Am I going to be okay? Should I pop a Tylenol? Is it like getting your hair braided? Honey. Sugaring, of course, is going to hurt way less. It's going to hurt way less. Whereas waxing, depending on how long your hairs are, it can actually sting just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, I have a high tolerance for pain. So to me, it's just, okay, cool. Like me and my esthetician, while she's doing that, we have a whole conversation. I'm talking about the kids. I'm talking about work. She's talking about vacations. She's talking about her life. And we laughing, we geeking, God, ooh, do that, whatever. For some people, they need to have a woosah moment. They need to have a pillow or something to hold or, you know, and others orgasm. I ain't got there yet. I'm trying to get there, but I ain't got there yet. And I ain't saying it feels that good to where I need to release, but I ain't gonna lie, that warm wax touching your stuff, like touching your lips and going on the near your clit, not on your clit, but near your clit, like the hood. Oh my God. It's just like a calming sensation. But I like wax play, so maybe that's why. Anywho, we'll get into that another episode. But yes, I love it, but it doesn't make me orgasm. However, some women have expressed that getting a wax makes them orgasm on the table. Cool. Do you, boo-boo? If that's what it takes, go get it done. Okay? That just don't work for me. But I don't have severe pain either or discomfort either. And then the end result, if I'm going to be uncomfortable for maybe, 5 minutes, the end result is enough for me to sit through it. So that's just my take on it. Now, like I said, I have a sugaring kit coming from the Girly Box today. We're going to try sugaring at home. I'm going to see how this works. I'm going to see how I like it. And I'm going to compare it to my wax experience. And if I like it, I'm going to stick with it. Okay, so we're gonna give y'all that review. I'm gonna put that up on my YouTube channel. And I might, like I said, I am gonna go live when I open up my sugar and wax kit from the Girly Box. However, to review and compare the two, we're gonna do a little YouTube for y'all, all right? So you might wanna follow us. That is what I told y'all earlier. Boobshenary. Spell it dictionary, take out the dick, put a boob, boobshenary. Everything. Okay? All right, y'all. Now we are jumping into relations and situations with our listener letter. So, this listener letter, y'all, we're going to call her Bonnie. Bonnie is the first thing that came to my mind. This is what we're going to do. Okay. So, Bonnie says, ladies, I need advice. So, I've been married for 4 years to an amazing man. He loves me for me, and I am so lucky to have him. Here's the issue. I have cheated on him in the past. When we first met, we only dated for 3 months, then got married. I was getting out of a year situationship with another guy and wasn't looking for anything serious. Fast forward to today, we've had multiple conversations about separating, but I am so scared to be on my own. When I was single, I hated being alone. So our lease is up in August and we are separating, but I'm scared and I know I'll buckle and stay, but I know I won't be happy if I do. I feel like shit and I know he's tired of me. But if I let him go, will I get another man that loves me and supports me like he does? Y'all, I'm reading this verbatim. He's like my best friend, but I DK what to do. Okay, Bonnie, call on me, honey. Call on me. First, you need to spend enough time with you and just you, because it sounds like you don't know what you want to do. Okay, like, I'm not going to get out of something with somebody. And you said a situationship, not a relationship. So you went from one situation to another. With no break in between. Because you said, when we first met, we only dated for 3 months and then got married. I was getting out of a year situationship with another guy and wasn't looking for anything serious. So if you weren't looking for nothing serious, how did you end up getting married after 3 months? You should have stuck to, hey, I know we might be hitting things off. I know I may feel as though you're the one for me, but I'm not looking for anything serious because I still need to heal and resolve some issues from my past or previous relationship. I just got out of a situationship that was a little over a year, and I haven't fully healed from that. Give me time to heal, and then we can kick some stuff off. You skipped that part. Okay, Bonnie? You skipped that whole healing process. And now you sitting here with hurt feelings like it's his fault. No, boo-boo. You part of that fault too, okay? You should have stuck to your guns when you said you weren't looking for anything serious. And then I can't even say getting married in 3 months' time is the reason why, because you have some people who get married in less time than that. And from meeting each other for the first time, and they work. So it's not even that you got married too quickly. It's not even that. It's just that you don't like being by yourself. And being by yourself is the best thing, especially when you're just getting out of a relationship or a situationship and you need to heal. Because what you did was carry all of that weight right into the next situation. And now, this is why 4 years later, you're in the predicament you're in. And you got to learn to stop hating being by yourself. Like, I love being around me. Granted, I am a people person. And I will network. I will engage socially. I can do all of these great things. But if you give me the time to just be alone and enjoy my own space and my own whatever, I'm going to take it because I love being alone. I like spending time with just me. And when I do that, whether I'm taking myself out on a date whether I'm just sitting back at home, reading a book, smoking, masturbating, or whatever I feel like doing in that moment, I'm enjoying that time with me. I'm learning what I like and what I don't like. I'm learning to do what pleases me and what doesn't. So that when I do decide to incorporate someone else in that space or in that moment with just me, I can say, hey, no, I don't like that. Don't do that. Or, hey, yeah, let's do more of that. Because then I know the difference. But if I never spend time with me to know my likes, to know my dislikes, to know what my body's going to react to, I can't relay that information correctly to someone else because I don't know myself. And that's where you at, Bonnie. You have got to realize that you're going to need to step away and take time for yourself to find out what truly makes you happy. Because you said it. If you stay, you know you won't be happy. And your happiness is what matters here. And an understanding that happiness that you need to have and already possess within self when you meet someone that you want to continue your life with, it would also prove the point of why you stepped out and why you cheated. Because you're not able to effectively communicate to your partner what's bothering you or what's missing from the relationship because you, 9 times out of 10, don't know yourself or you cannot communicate that because y'all haven't built that bond to have that open relationship or open role of communication in the relationship. And so, yeah, you're going to have to scale some stuff back a little bit, Bonnie, because right now, you're on a downward spiral. And I'm going to tell you from experience and from my own life and living and dating different people, you're going to have to work on self, sweetheart. Until you work on self, you are going to be the common denominator for why every relationship you get into is not going to work. Okay? So I want you to go and spend time with yourself. In that relationship with your husband, go ahead and break that off. Not saying that it won't work, but right now, Bonnie needs to take time and spend time with Bonnie to find out what Bonnie needs, and Bonnie needs to heal. Okay? So don't stay in a relationship just because you're afraid to be alone. That's how people end up, you know, 60 and 70 years old with somebody that they can't stand. And if you don't want that for yourself, put in the work to change it now. Because that time goes by. Life flashes right before you, and before you know it, it's over. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is all you get. So do it right the first time. Okay? All right. Child. And this is why we're getting into the Let's Talk topic of today, because I do have open communication lines in my relationship. And we've talked and we've both agreed that we want to incorporate a third person into our sexual dynamic within our relationship. And I'm not saying that it's going to be an all-the-time thing, which we're going to get into with this Let's Talk topic, but we at least want to try it out and see how it works for us and then make the decision on whether it's going to be like a occasional thing, whether it's going to be an all-the-time thing, or if it's going to be something we just do when we're in the mood. You know, baby steps, like I said, baby steps until you can turn around and see the bigger picture. Okay? All right. If you're following us on Instagram, then you already know. We went through this and we've been talking about this for the past couple weeks. I really wanted to go in and break down the difference between having sex with multiple people because there's different categories and there's different dynamics to things. And everybody has their own definition of what they believe certain things to be. For example, I asked Boob Nation, I asked y'all to provide me with some feedback on what you all feel is the main difference or the difference between a threesome, an orgy, and a train. And so I broke this down from what I believe it to be, but then I also posted it in my story on Instagram and got feedback from what y'all believe it to be. And so I'm going to go over what I believed it to be, because that was just the general consensus of what I got or what I gathered. So a threesome is three individuals. It does not have to be men. It does not have to be women. It does not have to be transgendered. It does not have to be queer. It is just three individuals, okay? They all have to be engaging in sexual activity with each other. All three, okay? I don't care how that combination came out, whether it's one queer, one trans, one woman, one man, one woman, one trans, if it's two women, a man, if it's two men and a woman, regardless, if you all are engaging in sexual activity together with each other consensually, that is a threesome, okay? Yes, no, it doesn't differ. It does not differ because it's a woman. It does not differ because it's a man. No, if it's three people engaging in sexual activity consensually together, that's a threesome, okay? Now, if it's a train, there is three or more people involved, but they are only choosing to engage in sexual activity with one person. So that means if it's one man and you have two to three women, and those women are not touching each other or engaging in sexual activity with each other, they are just and strictly pleasing you, that's a train, boo-boo. I don't care how you want to view it or how you look at it or what's your wildest fantasies and all that other stuff. No, honey bun. Mm-mm. Simmer down. Yes, that is a train, honey. Because nobody else but you was getting attention. So, I mean, most men that I have encountered, or shall I say penis owners that I've encountered, always consider a train to be a woman and multiple partners. No, 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 no. That works either way. Like, it's not specific to gender. So if you're a man, like I said, and you have multiple women, and those women are not engaging in sexual activity with each other, just you, oh, they're running a train on you, boo-boo. Mm-mm-mm. Sorry to disappoint you, but yes, you were involved in the train and you were the caboose, baby. Okay? Anyways, jumping into an orgy. So an orgy is when you have multiple people willing to engage and trade off partners with multiple people within the same space or room having intercourse. It's basically, my definition is like a free-for-all. So like if I'm in a room, and I say, hey, y'all getting down with the get down. I want to jump in. And they like, all right, cool. Then that's an orgy. Because now I'm in a room full of everybody doing them with somebody. And at some point, we're going to switch. And it's going to be like, switch, change, boom. There you go. And it's almost like you play a hot potato with penis owners. So, or with vulva owners, because shoot. We can do either way. But that's my definition, and that's how I define an orgy, a train, and a threesome. Okay? And so with that understanding, with that grounding, and yes, I have discussed this with my partner, and we both agree on the terms of what we classify a threesome. And that is so important. And that jumps us into my first point where you have to establish consent from your partner first. Can't just be like, oh, I want a threesome. Or, oh, he said he want a threesome, but I don't know if I want one. Or, oh, I'm trying to give my girl a threesome, but I'm not sure if I want one, but I'm going to do it because she want it. No, 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 and no. That's not how that works. You both need to sit down and mutually agree that that's what you want to do as a couple. Now, if you're single, you ain't got that problem. As long as you're down for the cause, then have fun. But if you are in a relationship, you do need to bring it to your partner's attention, or even if it's discussed and come up. Y'all both need to consensually agree that this is what you want to do with your relationship and with your sex life. Okay? So that's first, establishing consent. Okay? Now, after you've established that y'all both want a threesome, and this is definitely what you want to do, then you need to establish your boundaries. Okay? So that's sitting down and saying, hey, based on what I currently know or based on what I've taken the time to research, this is what I'm willing to allow. Or this is what I'm okay with doing. Or this is what I'm okay with you doing. Does that bother you? You know, you have to ask those questions prior to just jumping into bed with somebody else. Because that's how you avoid your partner feeling left out. That's how you avoid not having enough attention on everybody involved. And that's how you avoid, you know, a breakup, essentially. Because I've known situations where adding someone extra in the bedroom has ultimately ended the relationship because the people involved didn't take the time to set the proper boundaries needed before engaging in that activity. And so it's very, very important. That's why it's right there under consent. Because first, we need to establish that you want to do this. But second, we need to establish what you want to do with this. Okay? And you also have to set what is that third person going to look like? You know, what gender, if you're that sexually open or fluid, what gender are they going to be? You know, what are you attracted to, or what are you mutually attracted to as a couple? Because if I just bring in somebody that I'm attracted to, then I know already starting out, my partner's going to have less attention than me. So that's, you know, you have to be fair when you're thinking about adding in other things or other people, because that makes all the difference in the experience. And so for me, we're in this stage right now of setting those boundaries, and we're actually looking for a third person. Now, my search has been a little rocky, because what I have encountered is that a lot of people think they're freaky or kinky or like are well and above beyond this spectrum of sexual activity, when you actually sit them down and you get to talking and you started talking about some things and they're like, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not as freaky as I thought I was. So I'm running into a lot of that. And what I'm getting is a lot of vulva owners will be like, yeah, hey, I'm down. And I'm like, okay, no, like I'm dead ass serious about this. And then they're like, oh, well, okay, I'm still down. And it's like, all right. So then when you move into actually trying to set stuff up, you know, you can hear a mouse pee on cotton in church. That's just my struggle with it. I am aware that there are apps out there where you can actually post a profile as a couple and state that you're open to having either a unicorn, if you're married and y'all want a lasting third partner or a third party involved, just that one constant person at your beck and call when you want, or they can be as involved or uninvolved as you want them to be. It's literally what you want. However, even on the apps, I have not gotten any fish to bite my bait. That's okay. I'm in it for the long haul. So I know that it's not going to take a month's time or a week's time. You know what I mean? Because even so, I'm a very picky person. Like, if I'm not attracted to you, I'm going to tell you, no, hey, no, thank you. And it's not to hurt your feelings. It's not to, you know, create any uneven waters between us. But I like what I like. And I'm not about to just say yes, just to have the experience and then say, oh, well, dang, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. No, I'm not rushing this process. Like, if it takes time, it takes time. But I also have to know that it's more than just looking on an app as well. Like, get out there, go to bars, you and your partner, you know, see if you can find someone interested in person. Like, I know it's COVID, but stuff are starting to open back up. Go on out the house, make it a date night. Oh, yeah, that would be so much fun. You know, make it a date night. And y'all just go to like a lounge and you just sit back and observe. And once y'all mutually agree on somebody, you know, just feel them out. See what goes down and see what they're willing to do. And if it works out, kudos for you. But if it don't, okay, try again. Like, you can't give up. But after you've established those boundaries and you start looking for that third person, you do have to be upfront and honest about what you're looking for. You can't just be like, oh, well, hey, I'm going to send you in, babe. And you go in there and you bait the person and you just bring them home. And then we're just going to be, boop, hey, I'm here too. No, be upfront and be honest about what you're looking for. Because like I said, this whole experience is based on what you want it to be. You control everything dealing with the person you choose, what goes down, how it goes down, where it goes down. All of that is in your control. So it's important to remember that communication between you and your partner, also extend that to that third person once you found that person. They also, if you know somebody that may be interested, that knows only you, set up a date with them and your partner and you, where the three of you all can kind of break the ice. You know, if it's needed, you can break the ice. You can have a chill moment. You can just say, hey, okay, you guys are just nice people in general, or hey, I don't vibe with y'all as much as I thought I would. Or hey, maybe we do vibe. We can go home tonight. It's all on how you make it. Okay? So we're trying to avoid breakups. That's ultimately what we're trying to do. And please stop using threesomes and polyamory as an excuse to keep a partner in a relationship when they're cheating. That is not what this is for. And that is how a lot of y'all end up heartbroken, because now he's sitting over there or she's sitting over there screwing the third and you in the corner on your phone mad, or you packing up the room ready to shoot everybody because your feelings are hurt. This is why it's so important to communicate prior to. And if you are already struggling in your relationship or have issues that you have not resolved or worked through, don't think a threesome is about to solve it, because it's not. It's all it's going to do is essentially bring in a third party and complicate things even further. Okay, y'all? So, telling you now, once I have this experience, and if anything in my relationship changes, I'm going to be so hurt, and I'm going to feel some type of way, because I've done all the proper and necessary preliminary steps, at least to me, that I feel like I need to do in order to get this going. And I don't foresee it being a bad experience, because like I said, I have that open communication and I am able to go to my partner and talk about things that bother me or things that I don't feel comfortable with, or, you know, just what I'm open to having a third person involved doing. I'm comfortable doing that with my partner. And I wanted that comfort level. You know, I ended other relationships because I didn't have that comfort level with that person. And it's now that I have it, it's very important. And I see why. Because instead of running to friends for advice, or instead of running to outside people, I now just go to my partner and solve the problem. And we talk through it, because the problem only involves us. And then you need to be the same way when you're asking for sexual favors. If your communication lines are not already open, it's not going to just magically open because you're doing extra in the bedroom. Like, no, it's not. Granted, that person may be a little extra, you know, they may be a little happy, a little extra giddy around the house, because now y'all are, you know, releasing some positive endorphins and your body's pleasured. But it's not going to change the dynamic of the relationship if y'all don't sit down and actually have a real deep, honest discussion with each other. Okay? So, we already know what a threesome is. We know how to go about setting one up, establishing consent with our partners, and agreeing to what we're willing to do, what we're not comfortable seeing our partners do. We agreed on who we want or what we want them to look like. And now we're about to go out. We're about to find somebody. We're starting our vetting, is what I call it, my vetting process. It's just like a job almost. You know how with jobs, you put in an application. Now, based on that application and what you put on it, they're going to tell you if they're interested enough to interview you. And it's the same thing. When you find a possible third person that shows mutual interest in both you and your partner, and they are somewhat on the same page, I'm not even going to say 100% on the same page, because initially they don't even know what you're asking. They just know that you want a third person to be involved in some sexual activities. You shouldn't even be discussing what you want until y'all sit down, all three together, and set those boundaries, okay? And so then, now that you done found this person, you're like, okay, all right, cool. I like what I see. I like your name. I like your age. I like your looks. All this other stuff. All right, now is the interview process. You showed your initial interest. They showed their initial interest. Now I need to interview you. And that's when I say you have to sit down with your partner. You have to sit down with that third person. And you have to say, hey, okay, this is what we require from you. Are you okay with that? And then that person says, yes, no. Y'all modify whatever you need to at that time. Okay? And then comes the party. Then you are well on your way to having a great and awesome day. Okay? But you have to do things in order. You have to know that with sex, it's not really like you can just hop up and do. You have to take time to research. You have to take time to really like practice and get into the habit of doing things, because our bodies don't just automatically up and do things. You know, it's even like exercise. You can start by exercising today, yes, but you're going to be a lot more sore today starting out than you would be 2 years into working out every day. Get what I'm saying? Sex is the same way. You got to give your body time to adjust to new things. You know, you can't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to do this and go do it. Nah, don't work like that. That's how you have negative experiences or painful experiences. And sex is not painful at all. And if you are in a situation where it's ever painful, then it's not pleasurable. And that's definitely not the way to go. Definitely not the way to go. But hopefully I'll have good news to report back soon. But for now, you all know I'm on my beginning journey and I am wishing you well on yours. Okay. All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. So next episode, definitely stay tuned, because I am interviewing a polyamorous couple. They're coming on for part 3. And part 2, we're actually interviewing someone who's had a threesome, and we're getting the do's and the don'ts from someone with a little more experience. Okay. So, all right, y'all. I am shaking my boobs because we are through. I'll catch y'all next time.